Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God makes and gives a promise, he often attaches that promise to a sign. He makes his promises perfectly clear, and he makes that sign unmistakable. And so it was that he promised that he would never again send a worldwide flood. And he put into the sky the sign of the rainbow, which was God's guarantee that he would never again destroy this world by a flood. When God attaches his promise to a sign, we can hold God to his promises. He is faithful to them all. But we may not demand from God a sign that he has not promised and then hold him to that. God does not take orders from us. In today's gospel reading, Jesus points to a number of signs that showed that he was indeed the promised Savior. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isaiah foretold it. Jesus did the signs that Isaiah said the Christ would do, as revealed in his book in the 35th chapter. By miraculous signs, he confirmed that what he said was true. Jesus has also given signs to his church. He instituted holy baptism, in which he joined water to the Holy Spirit and his word. He attaches his promise to the waters of baptism, saying, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Peter's sermon on Pentecost cut the crowd to the heart. They cried out for God's mercy, and Peter replied, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Jesus also attaches his promise to the signs of bread and wine. He took bread and he gave it to his disciples, and he told them that this bread was his body, which was given for them into death. He took a cup of wine and he gave it to them and told them that the wine was his blood, which was shed for them for the forgiveness of their sins. Now we call these sacraments. But in our epistle reading, St. Paul says that all pastors are stewards of the mysteries of God. Mysteries in the Bible are the holy things that God gives out, his signs. And pastors are called such because they preach the gospel and they administer the sacraments. These signs of baptism and the Lord's Supper are the signs by which God attaches his promise to us that what he won 2,000 years ago is actually applied to us here in time for all eternity. And so John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus in order to learn from him that he was in fact the Christ. And when they asked Jesus if he was the Christ, Jesus pointed them to the signs. See for yourself. What did the prophets of God say? Have the prophecies come true? And they looked and they saw, and indeed they were true. They believed. The signs then identified the Savior. The signs that God gives to us now also identify the Savior, where he is promised to be in our midst. And after identifying the signs by which every believer could identify him, he added this phrase, "And blessed is he who is not offended by me." Now, why would he add such a thing? Who could possibly be offended by Jesus? He loves the weak, the sick, the helpless, and the poor. He does nothing but good things for them. He shows God's mercy in concrete ways, and he doesn't do anything to hurt anyone. So why would anyone be offended by him? And it is precisely for the reason that he preaches and helps and loves the weak, the sick, the helpless, and the poor that he is hated. Because our Lord comes under the cover of great weakness, and when he does so, he exposes the idols in which proud sinners put their hope. That, in fact, we put our hope in our money, in our prestige, in our standing in society, in our intelligence, and in our wisdom. But Jesus does not care for that. He comes in humility to rescue the poor. He demonstrates God's almighty power in weakness, and so he rescues poor, lost, miserable, and condemned sinners. And it is because he does this that he is hated. Because if you want to be saved, you must count yourselves among the poor, the weak, the lost, the sinner, the condemned. And we don't much like hearing that we lack anything. What did Jesus tell us? That he came not for the healthy, but for the sick. He came not for the righteous, but for the sinner. He offends everyone, except those who recognize that they are in need of what Jesus has to give. And so this brings us to two main errors that are taught concerning the sacraments of Jesus, the signs by which Jesus is known among us today. The one error is the teaching that the sacraments are just signs that identify us as Christians, but that these signs don't actually give us anything. That the bread and the wine are only bread and wine and not really Christ's body and blood. That they remind us of how God forgives us, but they do not actually give us this forgiveness. Or that baptism is just an outward expression of an inward experience, but it doesn't save us. That people turn the sacraments into mere symbols. That they don't bring Christ to us, but only remind us of him. The other error is the teaching that the sacraments benefit us by the mere performance of them, even if the benefits of the sacraments aren't received by faith. That is, by the mere doing of them, they are efficacious. But the Christ who has promised his presence in the sacraments, in these signs, must be received by faith. As Jesus said, he who does not believe will be condemned. Both of these errors end up turning the sacraments into human works. But the Bible teaches that the sacraments are not man's work, but God's. That they are God's means of bringing Jesus to us and saving us. This is how St. Paul describes it in the book of Titus. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Baptism is a washing in which the Holy Spirit actually saves us, regenerates us, renews us, and justifies us. And all of this is by God's grace and his grace alone, as God's gracious act upon us, without any works of righteousness on our part contributing at all. And this offends. It offends those who think that their good works make them righteous before God. It offends those who think that it is not dignified for God to clothe us in Christ's righteousness by means of holy baptism, but that we must work at it ourselves. But this is precisely what the Bible teaches. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Consider also the Lord's Supper. This causes offense too, that bread and wine would become Christ's very body and blood when a pastor simply says the words in church. But this is Jesus' clear teaching. Jesus says that the bread of this supper is his body, and he warns all unworthy communicants against eating and drinking judgment upon themselves because he has not discerned the Lord's body, either his presence in the sacrament or the true teaching of the body of Christ, his church. Jesus says that the body and blood that we eat and drink were given for the forgiveness of our sins. And so you eat, you drink, you believe. And what Jesus says to you, you walk back to the pew having just received what he promised: forgiveness of sins and salvation from hell. You take into your own body Christ's body and blood. And this is for you the medicine of immortality. It gives you eternal life. And of course this causes offense. Why would God take such a lowly stance coming through these lowly means, people say? But it is true. It is true because Jesus said it was. He joined his very body and his blood to these signs of bread and wine. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so John preached Christ to his disciples, and he sent his disciples to Christ. Jesus showed that he was the Christ by pointing John's disciples to the signs. He directs our attention to them. Here, in these signs, he is with us. He has promised to be with us. He is here because here is where his holy gospel and his body and blood are given out. Jesus gave to his church this gospel and these sacraments, and he promised that he would remain with his church until the end of the age through these means. So maybe that explains why the men who stand in this pulpit continually point you not to themselves, but to that gospel preached, to your holy baptism, and to the Lord's Supper, and bid you to come and receive what Jesus gives, because it is through those signs that he is with you. You will not find him anywhere else than where he has promised to be. And here they are for you. Here is where his salvation is given out, where the forgiveness of sins is applied, through his word and through his signs, the sacraments. And so Jesus says to you, you who are not ashamed to confess what Jesus has said, blessed is he who is not offended by me. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.